Glad you're here, right? Come on. Lots of places you could be. You could be at the Regal Drive-In tonight or something or whatever, but you're here at church. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. It's going to be a great night. Father, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus. We take that name serious. We're so grateful for the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus represents the person, Jesus. So tonight, as we heard on Sunday, when the church is gathered, Father, Jesus is with us. We're so grateful that you're here tonight, Jesus. The Holy Spirit's here. Father, your presence is here by and through the person of the Holy Spirit when we gather. So as we approach this time tonight for the next hour around your word and then in prayer, we believe you, Father God, for eyes that see, ears that hear, hearts that are open, and all of us, Father, teach us from the word. Help us pray in just the next few minutes things that you want to pray out tonight. And Father God, tonight we thank you that we set our minds that we are going to grow spiritually, Father, tonight. In Jesus' name, say amen. Amen. Give somebody a high five. Give somebody a praise the Lord. Give somebody a, I don't know, a fist pump. Do something. I don't know. Yeah, huh? Whatever floats your boat. Go ahead and be seated. We're glad that you're here. Remember a couple different things. You know, there's always stuff going on in the church. So check out the website, spectrumchurch.org. Ladies got some kind of movie night coming up. And there's stuff going on with the youth group this weekend. There's stuff happening, I think, on Friday. So check out what's going on. Young adults get together. So good things are happening. I want to remind you again about the offering. If you desire to give tonight, you can pick up an envelope, you can give online, whatever is simple for you. We appreciate what you are doing. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Let's go there tonight. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. We're on a series of lessons on our Wednesday night, or 30 for 30. We're really talking about the working of the Holy Spirit. And what we found out is that in Romans chapter 8, it's a hotbed for what you might call just spiritual activity. More scriptures, more individual scripture talking about the work of the Holy Spirit is in that chapter than anywhere else in the Bible. And so we've been really going on, you know, just verse by verse with each verse in that chapter, not, you know, the 28 or 30-some verses, 38 verses in the chapter, in the book, I guess, 39. But we're looking at the verses that specifically have access to the Holy Spirit, who He is, what God wants us to glean from that. Because if Jesus said, you know, I coin it this way and I, you know, phrase it this way, if what Jesus said is true about the Holy Spirit, where He said, when I go away, I'm going to send somebody just like myself, right? John 14, 15, and 16. He said about the same things. He's going to be the comforter, the helper. Amplified Bible says, calls Him the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby, right? Calls Him the Holy Spirit. He's going to come and He's going to be with you, just like I'm with you guys in person, He told, talking to disciples. But when I go away, I am going to send Him. So if Jesus put that much authority into the one who was going to be coming, we need to be doing the same in our daily lives, amen? We need to be looking and leaning and listening and leaning into the voice of the Holy Spirit through what we see in the Word and how He's working in our personal lives. And so again tonight, this is another great scripture, Romans 8:11. It's probably one of the scriptures that I kind of got in me and was a meditating scripture, memorizing scripture that I encourage you to do when I was just a young guy getting started in my Christian walk. Look what it says here. Let's read it out loud. I'm reading New King James. It'll be on the screen behind me. You can follow along with me. If you're reading the Amplified, we'll be finished when you're still reading. So here we go. Romans 8:11. Let's read it. 1, 2, 3, read. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. That's an amazing scripture. I want you to look at what it says there, that He's going to give life to what? What's He say? Your mortal body. That word life is really where we get that word Zoe, the God kind of life. The God kind of life, God says here, from the Holy Spirit, wants to do something in your mortal body. It wants to change, it wants to restructure, any weakness, any deficiency. So no matter what happens in life, no matter if you were born infirmed, if you through the course of life suffered an injury, if there's any kind of deficit of any kind of attack in any kind of a way, the Bible is telling us here plainly, emphatically again, in Romans chapter 8, that the God kind of life destroys all the effects of the curse. It destroys all the effects of sin. It destroys all the works of the enemy. It destroys everything that came with the fall of man, because there was another man that came, the capital M man, Jesus, that now reversed this curse. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So the context of this verse, just thanks for keeping it up there, guys in the back. Notice the context of the verse here. Just look at it, like the first where we go and we got the comma there. Notice, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the Spirit. Look at the last, we've got the very last line in you. Look above that. It says, through His Spirit who dwells in you. And then we've got this middle phrase. It says, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. So in between, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies. We've got Oreo'd. Come on, that's a good example, right? Not sandwich, Oreo'd. We've got sandwiched in between the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's activity, and resurrection power working in your body, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and resurrection power now working in your body, and the Holy Spirit. So let me tell you, I think that we just need to maybe regularly get an idea that when I'm going through life, the Holy Spirit is in this body wall to wall. He's with me everywhere I go. He's constantly leading me, guiding me, directing me. He's constantly trying to help me, comfort me, strengthen me, enable me. He's constantly speaking through me. He's constantly wanting to show me something, give a spark that I'll pick something up, leave something off. The Holy Spirit and resurrection life-giving power is just saturating your mortal body. Wow. I really believe if we as believers will understand this thought more and more, we will have more and more victories over sin, over sickness, over struggles, over addictions, over hang-ups, over problems, over things that get to us and get under our skin. We've got the Holy Spirit and His power working just in every area of our lives. Every area of our lives. We talked several weeks ago when we gave everybody a Powerade. We talked about that, that same power, of course, is working in us. And we talked about all those different words for the word power, if you were with us. We talked about in the New Testament, talks about power meaning energy and ability and strength and dominion and might. Just think of those words. Jesus set them high above all principality and power, might, dominion, every name that's named, not on this age, but that which is to come. And He put all things, gave Him to be head over the church, which is His body, fills all things and all. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 1, that now you're in the body, He's the head, but what's flowing from the head is flowing in your body, right? Right? Everything flowing from the head, flowing through your body. And we want to be connected and stay connected in that way. But so the power that God raised Jesus from the dead, that resurrection power, that life, that strength, that energy, that ability, that dominion is working in you. That combats and comes against every tactic of the enemy, no matter again where it came from, no matter how long it's been. One act of faith, one belief, one connection with God reverses everything that's been in your life up until now. So listen, don't just get used to things being the way they've always been. So come on, we've been praying Amos chapter 9. Y'all been praying that? Come on. It says God's decree. He's going to do something so fast it's going to make your head swim. Blessings coming everywhere you look. Blessings and increase coming. So come on, everybody. If it's in your body, if it's with your marriage, if it's with your money, if it's something the devil's messing with you, let's believe for change. Come on, everybody. Can you say change? Woo, that's a good word. That's just a good word. So the power, really what he's saying here again, is the power in context of this resurrection, Jesus' resurrection working in your life, the life of the believer. And the resurrection, when you read the Gospels, when you read the New Testament, the resurrection was central to all the teachings of the Apostle Paul. There's a push, if you will, or there's always this ebbs and flows in church life, and the church meaning general, across America probably more than anything, about what's cool and what's not cool. And, you know, in the last 5 years or so, it was kind of, there were even some translations that tried to come out. I don't know if they made it to press, but they were taking the word, like the blood, out of the New Testament because it was just too gory. It brought up images for people that were just, you know, too much. And the cross, because the cross was just such a place of pain. And so trying to change certain things like that from the context of the Bible. But can I tell you something? If we don't have a cross, if we don't have a cross, we don't have a resurrection. If we don't have a resurrection, we're not saved. We're going to read it in just a minute. No resurrection equals no salvation. No salvation in every realm. Again, salvation meaning right with God, but then that, what that salvation produces. It produces everything else in your life that's good and wholesome and godly. Right, everybody? So come on, thank God for the resurrection. Come on, somebody. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Can I get an amen? Thank God somebody took your place. Thank Jesus. Real quick, Romans chapter 10, 8 through 10. Romans 10, 8 through 10. Here's how you got saved. Here's how these, you know, five or six people got saved, rededicated life to the Lord on Sunday. Here's what it says. Romans 10, 8 through 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God, notice this, has raised Him. Come on, say raised Him. What would be another word for raised Him? Resurrected Him. Resurrection. Raised Him. If you believe in your heart, He says, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that God resurrected Christ from the dead, that God raised Him from the dead, what's going to happen? You will be saved. You've got to believe. You've got to speak. But you've also, your believing is you've got to believe in your heart that the resurrection is a fact. The resurrection is the hook that brings a man or a woman out of darkness and into light. They're believing that. They're confessing that. He says, for with the heart you believe to right standing with God, righteousness, and the mouth confession is made to salvation. Let's look at the book of Acts, and let's look at several things all throughout the book of Acts, how this message was preached, and let's just write down some scriptures. Ready to go? Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. Because this was just not a little kind of like, well, we're going to have like a one-hit wonder sermon, and we're just going to talk about it, maybe, Paul says, you know, to the Corinthians. No, they talked about it from city after city, people group after people group. It's recorded all throughout the book of Acts. It's recorded all throughout the New Testament, the power. The central theme of the resurrection is that if you're going to have the life of God in your body, it's going to manifest in your body, it's going to come by the vehicle of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's going to save you, going to deliver you, going to change you. So thank God for the resurrection. Come on. Come on. Resurrection means a standing up again. So come on, everybody. Maybe your mind's been a little weak. Maybe your body's a little bit weak. Maybe there's been relational letdowns in your life. The resurrection means, baby, it's getting up. Come on, everything's getting up now because of the resurrection. It's not just halfway. It means fully resurrected. And remember, when God raised Jesus from the dead, He just didn't come, I like what Pastor Mark Hankins says, you know, when God raised Jesus from the dead, Jesus just didn't come out of the grave kind of going, dear God, I barely made it. He whooped me. I mean, I got Him, but He really took a bite out of me. You know, hair smoking. Come on, we all seen some of those movies? You know, like your clothes have been eaten by moths and all kinds. He's just kind of, no. When Jesus came out of the very pit of hell, the Bible says He dethroned principalities and powers. Come on, somebody. The Bible says He made a show, Colossians 2:15, of them openly. The picture is like the gladiators where they would come in the Roman Colosseum and they would bring the enemy and they would show them to everybody there. That's what Jesus, one man, did to all the demons in hell. He proved the power of God working, come on, somebody, in a man. In a man. He was a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Whew. That's good preaching for a Wednesday night. A man anointed by the Holy Ghost. He laid aside his deity, Philippians 2 says. Philippians 3 says. Took on flesh. So come on, what he did as a man. So he said, you can do it. You can do it. And here's how I'm going to allow you to do it. I'm going to put my spirit in you, and it's going to work in your mortal flesh. Woo! Come on, somebody. That's better than a pretzel. It's going to work in your mortal flesh. It's going to work. The power of God, resurrection power, working in your and my life. Acts 2:23. Let's go through this. Come on. Acts 2:23, 2, verse 23 and 24. Notice what he preaches. This is Peter preaching the day of Pentecost. He says, him, meaning Jesus, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you, having taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put him to death. Verse 24. Whom God raised up, whom God resurrected, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Woo! You must not have got that. This is one of the greatest scriptures. This is one of my, come on, look, we've been saying, you got to have some go-to scriptures. This is a go-to scripture for me right here. This is a go-to scripture. Because the Bible says that God loosed Jesus from the pains of death because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Here's where it gets good. If it wasn't possible for that pain, that disease, the torment of the devil, sin to hold Jesus, then it is not possible for it to hold you. So you just got to get a little bold. You got to get a little tenacious. You got to just get filled. You got to get the word of God in your mouth. You got to get it in your heart. And you just got to tell the devil to back off your life. Resurrection power is working in you. Wow. It was not possible that he should be held by it. And so it is not possible that you go through your life anymore limited, sick, hurt, confused, bitter, negative, despondent, inactive, just going through life, going down the lazy river of life, just hoping for a retirement check, just one day going to go see Jesus. Come on, you got more to live for, don't you? Huh? Come on, everybody. Acts chapter 3, verse 14, 15. Acts 3, 14, 15. Let's look at this. Another time, here they are talking again, the disciples. But you denied the Holy One. Acts 3, 14, 15. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and you asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised. There it is again. God raised him from the dead, of which we are witnesses. There it is again. They're preaching and they're talking about the resurrection. The resurrection. Acts 4, 33. Acts 4, 33. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Come on, let's read that one out loud. Can we do it? Come on, 1, 2, 3, let's read. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Come on. So what should we be doing? With great power, we should be given witness to the resurrection. Everything about our life should point as we influence other people, as we go out and you might say evangelism, as we speak and we share, all of that coined again that in my life, wall to wall, the power of the Spirit of God working in my life, causing what I say to penetrate people's hearts, changing my life, of course, bringing healing to my life, but also the resurrection power coming through my life that sets people free. Again, it's all about Jesus, right? Got nothing to do with me and you, per se. It's all about Jesus. So notice this phrase again, Acts 4:33. Look at that scripture, Acts 4:33. They tied the power of God together with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Notice, great power, they gave witness to the resurrection. So there was a tie between the power that was demonstrated through them, and the resurrection. Also, it says that they tied the power of God with great grace. It says great grace was upon them all. So this great grace, this unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor that grace means, equals power. So listen to me. Don't try to, sometimes we teach, I guess we do it all the time, and just segment certain things and so we can teach them specifically, you know, faith or love or grace or mercy or kindness or whatever we're talking about. But overall, this thought of the grace of God, how we're saved, is by your faith connecting with the grace of God, right? Yeah. The Bible tells us that in Ephesians chapter 2. It tells us that. But this grace of God, this unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor of God really equals all the power you need in your life. And it says there, great grace was on them all. So listen, I just prophesy to you, I prophesy to our church, you've got great grace on your life. You've got great grace. You've got great unmerited favor, unearned favor, undeserved favor, just to do all the will of God. So again, because of the resurrection, we just expect it. We just expect it. They did. They shared. Wow, I just believe the more we talk about Jesus being alive, being resurrected, the more grace will be manifested through us, more grace present in our life, present in the work environment we're in. We just talk about the resurrection. Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead. I don't know what you think about that, but I tell you what, He'll heal your body. He'll work in your marriage. He'll start working in your kids. Jesus is alive. He's alive. Not just the Easter message. Come on, this is an everyday message. Everything in our life revolves around the central fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. Oh, Acts 10, verse 39 through 41, Acts 10. It says, we are witnesses of all things, Acts 10:39, which He did, Jesus did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Notice they crucified Him. That's another word we'd say. Verse 40, Him God raised up on the third day and showed Him openly. God raised Him up. What would we say that about that? Resurrected Him, right? Resurrected Him. Him God raised up on the third day and showed Him openly. Not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before God, even to us who ate and drank with Him after He arose from the dead. Again, we're witnesses of what He did. We're a witness of what He did. We believers, Christians, believe in the resurrection. So now we are to be witnesses of these things. We're not to be quiet. We're not to be bashful. We're not to be, backward. We're not to be cowardly. We're not to be timid. The resurrection in your life, the power of this person called the Holy Spirit in your life, who will manifest the resurrected Christ through you, we need to just get excited about it and expect Him to show up all the time. When you lay hands on the sick, we need to be excited and believe, it's not my hands. My hands are just natural hands. This is God's hands reaching out, going to heal this person. Come on, somebody. When we go to the work, somebody says, man, I'm confused. I don't know what I'm going to do. Yeah, no, no, they're doing this. And we got a word. God gives us a word right now to speak to people. Resurrection, life-giving word, life-giving word. Acts 17, 2-3. Come on, just a couple more scriptures. You're doing real good. Acts 17, 2-3. Notice this. Then Paul, as his custom was, notice that, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you, He is Christ. Look at that. Again, Paul talks about this. Peter talks about this. Custom was, they go to the synagogue, three Sabbaths, 3 weeks in a row. They reason from the Scriptures. Notice the two words, explaining and demonstrating. Explaining means that Paul, Peter, all these guys, James, these others, would take teachings sometimes from the Old Testament and then using Jesus' teachings, they'd explain. Of course, remember that we've got the New Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. They were the New Testament. Right? They were living it out. But then it also says demonstrating. Demonstrating. Notice that. Explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer, rise again from the dead. Demonstrating means signs, wonders, and miracles. So listen, let's just believe God in your life in a new way, that the same God, again, Romans 8:11, that raised Jesus from the dead is working in you and making, quickening your mortal body through His Spirit now who dwells in you. And so in your life, you've got God-given power to explain the Word of God to people. You've got God-given power to then demonstrate the life of God to people. Signs and wonders, healing. Can we just pray? Can we pray? That's what you ask Him. Can I just pray for you? It might get weird. Come here, let's just pray. You might go, God, I don't know exactly how to pray, but I'm just praying, help my friend heal their body. Let's just see what God does. Right? Come on, let's just see what God does. My baby's jacked up, messed up, you know, mom was a dope addict, baby was born, strung out on meth. Well, come on, not the baby's fault. Not the husband or the boyfriend's fault. You know, mom got messed up, had wrong thoughts. Guess what? God still cares. Come on, God still cares. Will He help him? Of course He'll help him. But He needs somebody like you that believes the Word. Somebody like you that'll just say, resurrection power is in me. Jesus is going to use me right now to help you. Come on, somebody. He's going to use me right now to help you. All right, real quick. 1 Corinthians 15. Last scripture and we're going to pray. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Let's read 10 scriptures here and we'll close before we pray. 1 Corinthians 12. 15. 15, verse 12. This explains everything we talked about tonight, right here. Look what Paul says. This is so plain, so simple. We're all going to get it right here. Notice this. Now, if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. No resurrection. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Look at that. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we testified that God has, we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead don't rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. And you're still in your sins. In other words, we just say kind of new translation, you're tripping. Verse 18. Then those also who have fallen asleep, the people that already died in Christ, meaning they were believers in Christ, they perished, they're done, it's over, it's through, it's dark, there is no hope for the people that have already died. Your grandma. My dad. If Christ didn't rise, my dad that believed, he's out here and floating around in La La Land somewhere. He's gone, done, over. Verse 19, key on this. If in this life only you have hope in Christ, we are all men most pitiful. Most miserable, the Bible says in the translation. Listen to me. As good as it is to be a Christian, as wonderful it is to have an abundant life here on this earth, it's pitiful to think this is as good as it gets. That gives me great hope. Come on, somebody. Come on. You could be going through some trials. You might have bought a nice Ford truck out there, a Raptor or something. You know, think, man, I got it going on. Listen, someone will probably hit you. Somebody will scratch you. Something will happen. Our hope isn't in anything in this life, no matter what kind of great things we get, no matter how much peace we've got in this life, no matter what. The Bible says our hope must be in the resurrection. Amen. Keep reading verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He was the first one rise. For since by man came death, that means Adam, by that first man that was born, Adam, came death, spiritual death, separation from God, by man, notice that capital M, man, that's Jesus, also came the what? Resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive. tonight, on a Wednesday night, you've been working your keister off all day, all week, you're dragging here a little bit, God bless you for being here. I don't care what you look like, I don't care what it feels like, I don't care if you've got an extra gray hair today or an extra wrinkle, I don't care what happened in your life today, can I tell you something that's working in you? Resurrection power. Yeah. Woo, come on somebody. Resurrection power. I don't care if you put on a couple extra pounds, ate nachos tonight, feeling a little sluggish, should have had a coffee. Resurrection power is working in your life right now. Right now. To set you free, to deliver you, to work in your mortal flesh. Also for God to use you through explaining and demonstrating the Scriptures. It says here that all the believer, everything that we wrap our life around as a believer is solely tied in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Since He was raised, come on, someday you're going to be raised. Can I get a better amen? I believe with all my heart, and I know you do too. Read that Scripture one more time, Romans 8, verse 11. Stand up, everybody. We're going to pray tonight, but let's read this Scripture, Romans 8, verse 11. We read it a moment ago. Let's close our teaching time with it one more time. Let's read it. 1, 2, 3, read. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Come on, somebody, let's just praise God for a second here and just thank Him for His Spirit who's now dwelling in you. Thank you, Father God, for the Spirit of God that's dwelling in us tonight. Regardless of where we're at in life, regardless of what's happened in our life up until now, we believe every born-again child of God, regardless of how long they've been saved, regardless of what's gone on in their life up until now, your Scripture, your Word says resurrection power is working in us. So we thank you tonight for the life of God that's quickening our body. It's rearranging some things. It's killing cancer cells. It's killing diabetes. It's killing heart problems. Blood systems are flowing. Asthma leaves, Father. Bones are being strengthened. Paralysis is going. Eyes are coming into alignment. Ears are hearing better, Lord God. We thank it's working in our children. It's working in our grandchildren, Lord God. Resurrection power is working in our bodies. It's working through us, oh God. As we reach out to the lost and dying world, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you tonight. We thank you tonight. We thank you tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Father, the Scripture says that you raised Jesus from the dead and you loose the pains of death that were surrounding Him. You said it was not possible that He should be held by. So Father God, tonight, you're doing a great work in this church and through this church, the believers in this church. Father God, I thank you that we will remember this word and we will go forth with boldness and tell people around us it is not possible for you to stay the way you are. It's just not possible. Not based on them, but based on the power of the resurrected Christ. It's just not possible. So Father, tonight, we just take the limits off our mind. Come on, just spend a couple minutes there. Amy, throw that Scripture back up there. Acts 2:24. Throw that up there. Whatever you're going through tonight, Acts 2:24, we just prophesy that over your life. You look at that Scripture and you just think for a couple seconds here, a couple minutes, what looks like it's death in your life? What looks like it's dying in your life? What looks like the enemy has a hold on it in your life? With your family, with your body, with your mind, with your money, with relationships, with situations kind of going sideways, like you just never can't get a break. Like you take a step forward and the enemy slides you back four steps. The Bible says He has loosed the pains of death from your life. God raised Jesus up. And so since there's a resurrection for Jesus, we prophesy to you tonight, there's a resurrection for you. It's not possible. It's not possible that we stay the same. It's not possible. It's not possible that we're held by this. It's not possible that we're held and confined and limited. It is not possible. It is not possible that our church stays the same. Father, you're doing a great work here. You're doing a great work in the people's lives here. It's not possible, Father God, that we stay limited to the size of our congregation. It's not possible that we stay, Father God, confined. Father, you're bringing us to increase. You're bringing us into an open land. You're enlarging our path under our feet, oh God. You're enlarging our path. You're enlarging every family. You're enlarging every single person. You're enlarging every person in our church, oh God. Not limited. Not limited. Not limited. Not limited. Jesus. Not limited. Not limited. Look real quick. Look real quick. Psalm 70. Psalm 70. 70. Psalm 78. Verse 40. Help us out, Amy. Verse 40 and 41. How often they provoked him, that means the nation of Israel provoked God in the wilderness, and they grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God, look at this now, and limited the Holy One of Israel. Verse 42, they didn't remember his power, the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. So we limit God when we don't remember his power. We limit him. So tonight, come on, let's remember how good he is. Let's remember resurrection power. Right now. Again, come on, just recount. Right there in your own, just bow your head, close your eyes. Music will be playing. Just recount the power of God that you've seen, how He helped you time and time again. He helped you. He was there. He picked you up. There was a friend. A friend called you. There was somebody that ministered to you. There was a job opportunity when it looked like nothing was happening. Doctor gave you a negative report, and yet between the time the doctor gave you the report, something else happened, your body had a total turnaround. Total turnaround. So we're remembering tonight the goodness of God. We're remembering the resurrection power of God tonight. We're not going to limit you, Lord. We're not going to limit you. Jesus, tonight. You're an amazing God. You're an amazing God. Time and time again, you reach out. You reveal yourself. You help us. You bless us. The Scripture says, Father, you sent Jesus to bless us. So we don't limit you. You're the God who multiplied loaves and fishes. You're the God who stopped Pharaoh from tracking into the nation of Israel.